Good morning, church. How are we? All right, we're continuing on in Revelation chapter 13. Open your Bibles. Maybe you thought we finished Revelation chapter 13 last week, but we didn't. We still have a couple more exciting things to go over, such as the image of the beast and the mark of the beast. Sensitive areas for some people. Hey, the sun came out this week. It was Thursday. I managed to get to Starbucks and sit outside and study. It was cold, but the sun was out. Good times. Okay, we're going to read Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. But we're going to really just focus on verses 14 through 18. But let's read, again, Revelation chapter 13, starting at verse 11. It says, "Then I saw another beast rising out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke like a dragon. It exercises all the authority of the first beast in its presence, and makes the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose mortal wound was healed. It performs great signs, even making fire come down from heaven to earth in front of people. And by the signs that it is allowed to work in the presence of the beast, it deceives those who dwell on earth, telling them to make an image for the beast that was wounded by the sword and yet lived. And it was allowed to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast might even speak and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. Also, it causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead, so that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, that is, the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that your spirit will speak to us this morning, and that your spirit will move, strengthen us, lift us up, and open our ears to the words that you have to speak to us. I pray, Lord, that your words be spoken, not mine. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love. I pray, Lord, that we can just continue to share that with others. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so again, we're going to just be looking at two things this morning. We're going to be looking at the image of the beast and the mark of the beast. Right, the second beast, we talked about this last week, the second beast, the false prophet, through his deception, the world's going to worship the first beast, which is the Antichrist. And we talked about how today the world's a smaller place because of the internet, because of social media, because of all this technology that we have. And when that's in control, when we have this one world government, this one world system that's in control by this great political leader who's the Antichrist, and then who has serving under him his PR man, man with a lot of political and religious influence, the false prophet, in control of all these things, because they're going to control everything that you see, they're also going to be able to control everything that you believe, and they're going to lead you into worshiping the Antichrist, who in a sense is worshiping Satan, because it is Satan who gives the Antichrist all this power and all this authority. So the second beast, the false prophet, who's leading everybody into worship with the Antichrist, also is going to, as it says here, have them make an image of the beast as well as receive the mark of the beast. So let's first look at the image of the beast, right? In verse 14, and it says, it deceives those who dwell on the earth, telling them to make an image for the beast. Image in the Greek is the word, you might have heard this before, it is the word icon. Okay? We know the word, right? You have a lot of little icons on your phone, right? All those little things are usually referred to as icons. The word icon is used over 20 times in the New Testament. Most of the time it's used here in the book of Revelation, where it's used over 8 times. But it's always translated image. And it's a literal, like the literal translation would mean like a literal likeness, like a statue or a bust profile, right, of a leader. We understand these things. We've been making statues for people for ages, There's statues all over the place, unless they're tearing them down. Right? There's statues all over the place of people that we've erected to honor whatever they've done, whatever their service was, whatever heroic deed or anything like that, whether they're a great leader or a great president or whatever. So we understand this idea of statues and bust profiles, but figuratively, icon or image represents a resemblance of someone or a resemblance of something. It doesn't have to be an exact image of the person, but it's a resemblance of that person. It represents them, right? The Nike swoosh, right? That represents Nike. The apple with the bite taken out of it, that represents the Apple Corporation. We understand these things. These are icons. These are images. Here, specifically, when we're in Revelation chapter 13, when we think of the word image, we think of like what it says in Romans 1:23, where it says, "And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things," right? They made false gods. And we understand this because at John's time and during the reign of the Roman Empire and things like that, we went through this when we went through all the letters to the cities at the beginning of Revelation. You know, in all these cities, they had temples set up to all their gods, and in those temples, they had statues to the gods. But not just that, the people in the town made a huge living by creating images of these gods and selling them to all the people in the town, right? So you had that all the tradesmen, you know, silver, gold, wood, stone, whatever they were using to make all the images, and they made all these false gods, all these images that people then could take and to their house. So then they could worship the God, you know, in their living room. They didn't have to go to the temple because they had the likeness of the God in their house. They were false idols. It was big business at John's time, you know, for all the Roman Greek gods for to make all these things. But it wasn't just limited to that. I mean, we can go back and we say, oh, remember about Acts when Paul went into Ephesus and you had Demetrius who made the images of the goddess Artemis, and then that got the whole town got riled up because it was such an insult that Paul would tell them, hey, gods you make out of your hand aren't real gods at all. And they're like, what? You know, and they rioted and they tried to kill him. But it's not just limited to that, because religion in general has put a lot of importance on icons. Specifically like the Catholic religion or some of your Orthodox religions, they put a lot of importance on icons. Icons are very important. I mean, I watched a show with Morgan Freeman, where he's going around trying to find God. And he goes and he looks upon the supposed crown of thorns that the church has sealed away that supposedly was the actual crown of thorns that Jesus wore. And, you know, so they have all these different the icons, the spear of destiny, which is the spear that was thrust in Christ's side, the wood from the actual cross, supposedly, you know, the bones of the apostles. And usually if you look up icons in the church, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of religious paintings that have been done over the years that churches have either hanging in their church or in their catacombs or, you know, hidden in their secret vaults that no one knows about, right? They put a lot of importance on these icons and on these relics to the point that you're almost to approach them as if they were God themselves. You have to approach them in reverence. You almost have to approach them humbling yourself before the icon itself, when the icon's not even Jesus. It's just a painting. It's just a statue. It's just a relic. But you can easy to see over time how icons and images have become worshipped. Right? And, you know, today the images we make of our gods are a little different. Right? They all come in all shapes, colors, and sizes. They might be a poster on the wall. They might be an autographed photo. They might be a flag. Like I said, it could be the Apple logo. It could be the Nike swoop. It could be all the Amazon packages you have stacked in your entryway. We have, you know, we have all kinds of different images we make to the gods that we worship. They could be literal, they could be figurative, just like the image here in Revelation chapter 13. We don't know that the images that the second beast, that the false prophet has them make, we don't know if these are literal images of the Antichrist, as in a statue, or if they're just a representation of the Antichrist. you know, whatever icon or whatever symbol or whatever imagery that represents him or what he stands for or anything like that. It could be just that. It could be any of those things. However, with this image here, it should be, we should point out the fact that there's a little bit of difference between the statues they made back in John's or Paul's time or even some of the things that we might have in our house. There's a little bit of a difference. One is, it says that the false prophet, the second beast, was allowed to give breath to the image so that the image of the beast might even speak. And then it says, and might cause those who would not worship the image of the beast to be slain. That's a little different. Okay? That's not like anything that I've previously read. All right, it's a little bit of a difference. What does that mean? Well, to me, it means this. It means that this image, whatever it is, this false god, this representation of the Antichrist, speaks and listens to you. In Psalms 135, the psalmist actually mocks those who make statues of false gods. He says, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, right? They're the work of human hands. They have mouths, but they don't speak, right? They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. There's no breath in their mouths, the psalmist says. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. That's the truth about false idols. But guess what? This image of the beast here, it speaks. It has breath. Right? The word, the Greek word for breath here is pneuma. It's the word that we normally use for spirit. It's not the normal Greek word for life, which is, I forget. But the point is that it doesn't actually have life, but yet it speaks. And it speaks and somehow knows whether or not you're truly worshiping the beast. And if you aren't truly worshiping the beast, then it has the authority to kill you or get you killed. Right? So this image somehow, you know, it's animated in some way. It's creepy. Right? Whether it's animated, you know, demonically or technologically, the result is deadly. It can be deadly. It's not really living, though some think that it's actually a statue that demonically comes to life. I'm pretty sure I've seen that movie. But I don't know that that's exactly what it is. It speaks and hears. It pays attention. It knows whether or not you're truly worshiping the beast or not. Right. Some think that this image is just an entity. It's the community of people who reflect the character of the dragon or the Antichrist, right? Some identify this image with Babylon. So in other words, the community of people in which you're living at that time, those who are living at in the end times, in the tribulation, the community of people in which they live, who are also worshiping the beast, they think that that's the image of the beast, and therefore they'll know whether or not you're truly worshiping the beast or not. But I don't think that's what it is, because it says that the false prophet has them make the image. So I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if that literally means they make it from scratch, because we understand how some people are really crafty and some people aren't. So, like, I mean, if you come over to my house, my daughter can run in her room really quick and out of paper make you an entire set of clothes. But some people, they don't have that ability. So I can imagine if the false prophet says everyone has to make the image of the beast, in some houses you're going to have a really glorious looking image of the beast, in other houses it's going to be like a rock. You know, because I can't make anything, I'm just going to set that there. But I don't know, so I don't know if it's something that they actually physically make with their hands or not, but, you know, Jack Hibbs at one time, he thought it was a high-tech virtual reality hologram of sorts. It could be. I mean, we have that technology. Some say it's an android or a cyborg or a human-animal hybrid or a human clone. I mean, we can go off on all these tangents on what the image of the beast might be. I don't think we really need to go that far. How many people have some sort of technology in their house that you can speak to? Yeah. Does it speak back? Does it control your lights or your doorbells or your security cameras or your garage door or whatever? Does it play your favorite music? Yeah. Is it listening? The answer is yes. It is. My wife and I were talking about some certain product, and I don't actually remember what the product was anymore, but we were in the kitchen talking about it, and neither one of us were holding our phones. However, you know, the phones are never that far away. And whatever the product was we were talking about, I heard my phone ding. Thinking it was a text message, I reach over and I grab it. It's not a text message, it's an email. And it's an email from Amazon. And Amazon says, "Do you want to buy this product?" It was the exact product my wife and I were talking about. Now, if you haven't had that happen to you yet, you're not using your phone enough. Right? I checked. I went into my settings and I look, okay, you know, because they turn things on that you don't know about all the time, right? And you have to go and check to see what's turned on your phone. So I went and checked to see if Amazon had access to my microphone, and they didn't. Not that I could turn on and off. But yet, somehow, they knew exactly what we wanted to buy. And they sent me an email asking me if I wanted to buy it. It's creepy. So I don't have to go too far when we think about things like that, because your phones, your computers, they're all watching and listening to you. Right? HAL 9000, anyone? I mean, really? You know, 2001, A Space Odyssey, a sentient artificial intelligence gone crazy? We don't have to go too far to see the reality of the situation. The technology is here now. Right, Amazon or Apple or whoever is listening to you, possibly controlling your whole house. Alexa? Siri? Right, I'm going to ask Siri, are you the image of the beast? I'm not sure I wanted to reply. Now, it says that their identity is not just wrapped up in the image of the beast, but they're also identified by the mark of the beast as well. Right, verse 16. It says it also causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor, both free and slave, to be marked on the right hand or the forehead. Marked means, in the Greek, it means stamped image. That's literally what it means. And it's the word karagma, and it's like an etching or an embossing or a stamp or an engraved mark. And at the time, it was actually quite common. The Roman Empire used this karagma, this stamped mark, for citizens of allegiance. So if you were a citizen of allegiance to the Roman Empire, you probably received a mark. And this mark allowed you to buy and sell and travel freely throughout the Roman Empire. It was common at the time. I say common, you know. The Christians didn't get the mark, right? Because they weren't worse. Caesar was not Lord to them. Jesus is Lord. So, but in John's time, when he wrote Revelation, it was really commonly used in for branding your animals, that type of mark, or slaves, branding your slaves, which was fitting because all who are going to take this mark will end up being slaves to the Antichrist, end up being slaves, in a sense, to Satan. Now, it tells us here that the mark of the beast is the name of the beast or the number of its name. And this is where you could get lost for ages. I'm just going to tell you, you don't need to really do a lot of research on the number of its name or the whole numerology aspect of 666 and how it relates and whose name can work out to that pattern. Because if you work hard enough, every name you can find, you can match up to 666. It doesn't take too much of a work. It also says that 666 is the number of man. You know, man was created on the sixth day. Six represents the fallen nature of man. So you have 666, the number of man. So it says, let he who has understanding, it says, calculate the number of the beast. So people have been trying to calculate the number of the beast for like 2,000 years now. See, every Greek or Roman or even Hebrew letter has a number associated with it. Roman numerals, right? You know, X equals 10, L equals 50. Alphabets have a numerical meaning in Greek letters were assigned a numerical value, A equals 1, B equals 2, so forth. You know, in the Hebrew language, if you hadn't heard this before, you may never get on the internet again, but the Vav, it's the V in the Hebrew language. There is no W in Hebrew, right? So the V, when you translate Hebrew, is often translated as a W. The numerical number assigned with Vav, V, or W in the English is 6. So every time you go on the internet, WWW, you're typing 666. A lot of people just went, ooh! Matter of fact, people have used that to accuse certain religions of being demonic, just because they have a web address. Anyway, one very popular idea in the early church was that the number identified the Antichrist with Nero. And the thing about Caesar Nero and the number is that, yes, in one certain variation of his name, that you take a variant spelling of his name from the Greek form of a Latin name and you transliterate it into Hebrew characters, and if you do all that, you can get it to be 666. It wasn't Caesar Nero. For 2,000 years, people have been trying to associate that 666 with trying to understand, to calculate those numbers, to figure out what it means, you know, using numerology and all that stuff. They've been trying to unravel that mystery for ages. Like I said, if you work hard enough, you can match the 666 to almost any name. Someone should try and work it out. Eddie's not here today, so someone should try and work it out and see if they can get it, like, on Eddie's name, and then text him later and say, "Hey, Eddie, I just figured it out." No. Listen, there's a lot of phobia surrounding the number. Someone I work with who's Catholic won't process any sale that comes in where the order number has 666 in it. He won't call anybody whose phone number might have 666 in it. He gives all those to me. He's like, "Hey, you take care of this, will you?" People have changed street names, they've changed addresses, they've changed highway numbers. You know, just a few years ago, there was a flight out of Copenhagen to Helsinki. It happened to be also on Friday the 13th, and the flight number of it was AY666, and they had to change the flight number because people would not get on the plane. All right, Friday the 13th, and the flight number is 66. That's it. Satan's flying that plane. We're not flying, right? So they had to change the flight number. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of fear in the number. There's a lot of phobia. You got nothing to fear in a number. 7 was already claimed by God. Satan had to settle for something less. You got nothing to fear. Whoever the Antichrist is, the number 666 is going to play a principal part concerning his identification and for those who worship him, because they're going to have to get this mark or this stamp on them. However it looks, whatever it resembles. So what is the mark of the beast? Is it an actual mark? Is it an actual number? You know, some people don't think it's a mark or a number at all. They think we're crazy for even suggesting the idea. Hank Hanegraaff, for example, for those who might know who Hank Hanegraaff is. I don't personally follow Hank Hanegraaff, but back on April 7th, he suggested that all other theories concerning the mark of the beast were a concoction of paranoid prophecy pundits, he said. They said those people have a little or no aptitude for reading the Bible for all its substantial worth. He said that the mark of the beast is symbolic language in reference to individuals' beliefs or behaviors. So the mark of the beast isn't a physical mark. It's just how people's beliefs and behaviors will be at the time. That's all it symbolically represents. As in, for example, it says you're going to get the mark on your forehead or your hand. So your forehead controls your thought. Your hands, in a sense, controls your actions. I think he's wrong. I think it is an actual mark because it tells you specifically that it's a stamp of some sort. And it doesn't. And that it, why would they suggest that it goes on either the forehead or the right hand if it was symbolic in nature? Right? I don't think it's symbolic in nature. I think it's an actual mark. Now, that being said, I can't tell you that it's going to be a mark that's visible, that everyone will see. Or it's something that gets stamped or injected. I don't know how you're going to receive the mark. I just know that those in the tribulation that worship the beast are going to have the image of the beast, and they're going to receive the mark of the beast, and they're going to get the mark of the beast in either their right hand or their forehead. And the mark of the beast is a death sentence. There's no hope for anybody who receives the mark of the beast. When I say mark of the beast, what's the first thing that pops into your head? Is it a barcode? Because a barcode is one of the most universally, you know, accepted images of the mark of the beast. Barcode is and was the most popular symbol representing the mark of the beast. Why? Because it actually contains the number 666 in it. I don't have a picture of a barcode to show you. I forgot to put my little graphic on my computer, so I can't put it up there. But on my little graphic for the sermon, I have a barcode on there, but it's not one of the actual. There's all kinds of barcodes look slightly different depending on how you look at them. But most barcodes have numbers underneath them, right? And the first set of lines and the last set of lines and the middle set of lines of a barcode go down farther than the rest of the lines. And when you look at that first set, that middle set, and that last set, those represent 666. They do. So they ask the inventor of the barcode. His name is George Lohrer. He invented the barcode back in 1971. They asked him, they said, rumor has it, right, that your left, middle, and right lines on the barcode that protrude below the UPC code, that they're the numbers 666. What's up with that? And he replied back and he said, yes, they do. It does represent 666. He says, but it has nothing sinister about it, and it has nothing to do with the mark of the beast. It's simply a coincidence. But that's why, coincidence, that's why the barcode is so associated with the mark of the beast. That, and ever since the barcode got that association, pretty much everybody jumped on it, in movies and everything from then, barcode, symbol, 666, mark of the beast. I was going to put a QR code. I was going to make a little graphic for like our Instagram page, and I was going to update it slightly because barcodes are old now, right? So you have to put the QR code on there. I was going to put the QR code on, and you know, Mark of the Beast, I'm going to put the QR code on there. And if you understand how QR codes work, you can take your phone and you put it in camera, and you can go up to a QR code, and your phone will automatically then pop up a link that the QR code links to, and you can hit the little thing. It'll take you right to the website or whatever, right? So I thought, well, this will be fun. I'll link it to our website. And then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. Because then people would be like, oh, Mark of the Beast, where's it go? What? It goes right to our website. They're the Mark of the Beast. No, I didn't want anybody crazy thinking that I was pointing, saying our website was. I was like, no, I won't do that then. I thought it would have been fun. Anyway, it says in verse 17 that concerning the mark of the beast, that no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark, the name of the beast or the number of its name. See, this is what the mark of the beast controls. The mark of the beast, under the government of the Antichrist and the false prophet, all who will be given the mark, right? Without the mark, no one's going to be able to participate in the economy. I'm sure that the mark will be sold as a benefit to humanity. Right? Hey, you need the mark. It helps abolish fraud. It eliminates counterfeiting. It unifies the world and world security, right? If you have the mark, you love your neighbor. I'm sure all these things will be thrown out and for the benefit of why you should take the mark. You know, the technology to give people a mark that enables people to buy and sell is current technology, right? It's already here in today's world. There are many different ways that this could happen, and such programs and software are proposed and tested constantly. You can shop right now, like an Amazon that's down in Seattle, right? That Amazon grocery store, where you can walk in. There's no people that work there that you see. You walk in, you grab whatever groceries you want, you put them in your thing, and you walk out of the store. That's all you do. There's no till, there's no register, there's nothing like that. You don't check out. It just automatically knows who you are because you have the Amazon app installed on your phone, right? And when you walk in there, it knows who you are. It then can sense what you're grabbing and putting in your bag. Oh, you're buying those items, and then you walk out and it charges you. You didn't have to deal with anybody. You bought all that stuff. Amazon is the mark of the beast. It was actually Jack Hibbs who said that this last Wednesday. I watched a video with him and Amir Safadi, and Jack Hibbs was like, what if Amazon is the mark of the beast? And everyone in his audience was like, ah! Because he's like, how many would take it just so they can continue shopping? but that technology exists. ID 2020. ID 2020 is a project funded in part by the Gates Foundation. It's an international project aimed to provide digital IDs for individuals living throughout the world. Right? Why do we need digital IDs? To buy and sell. That's why we need digital IDs. Bill Gates said that in the future, these digital IDs, these digital certificates, could trace who had recently been tested and had received a vaccine, making it possible for business to resume as usual. So buying and selling. Really? There's the quantum dot tattoo. That's a real technology. Invisible tattoo that's only visible to the use of a special camera app on your phone and with some sort of special filter that can see it. That's real technology. That's out there. Are your animals microchipped? Our cats are microchipped. How about microchipping yourself? That technology is out there. People are doing it now. They're crazy. But I've seen it, right? I saw this video where this person microchipped themselves, and now when they walk out to their car, they can just go whoop, and the car click unlocks, and they can get in, and they inserted the microchip in their hand. Technology is there. Been there, done that, right? Face detection, anyone? Fingerprint ID? It's there on your phone. Your social security number? It's indispensable. You can't leave home without it, right? You need it for almost everything worldwide. Worldwide, it would seem that numbers are more important for identification than your name is. I mean, how do we buy most things today? Through the computer. Numbers are more important to computer than names. You know, ones and zeros. But speaking of computers, speaking of buying and selling, let's jump into really controversial territory. Let's talk about the vaccine. This is going to be fun. The phrase buy and sell has been associated with the vaccine for at least a few months now, if not longer. Since they started developing the vaccine for COVID, they said we're going to have to take this vaccine so that we can continue to buy and sell. They've continued to use that phrase exactly, buy and sell. I've read many articles where they say, well, you're going to need it to buy and sell. But things get back to normal. When we want things to go, things are never going to get back to normal. All right. Sorry. I mean, even Governor Inslee just said that to the state Senate here just this last week. We have to start thinking about the fact that nothing is going to get back to normal, that this is the new normal, and this is how we need to operate now. They say, well, when you have the vaccine, you can then take off your mask, and you don't have to socially distance anymore, and then now they're saying, no, when you take the vaccine, you still need to keep your mask on. You still need to socially distance. That's just the first round. You got to take the second round and possibly the third. Because some of the people that were in the Capitol riots, you know, some of the people in Congress who caught the vaccine had the vaccine, and now they've caught the virus. And so people said, wait a minute, they had the vaccine, and now they have the virus. Well, that's because they only had one round. You got to have at least two, right? So this idea that the vaccine is joined with the phrase buy and sell has scared a lot of people. Because that's the mark of the beast, buy and sell, vaccine, mark of the beast, buy and sell, vaccine, mark of the beast. I'll just tell you up front, the vaccine is not the mark of the beast, because we're not in the tribulation. Last time I checked, rapture hadn't happened. The Antichrist isn't present. The vaccine, I'm not telling you whether to take it or not. You have to make that choice yourself. Our family, we won't take it. But the vaccine is, you know, there are other reasons why you may not want to take it. And you should investigate and look into those. We might talk about some of it. But the vaccine itself right now is not the mark of the beast. Now, when we're talking about computers and technology and all this stuff that's available today for the mark of the beast, you have to understand that the vaccines are, and I'm not a scientist by any means, the vaccines are mRNA vaccines, right? So mRNA has been being used since the 1990s for immune therapies and stuff. And only now is it being used in vaccines. Now, M stands for messenger, if I understand correctly, right? That's a genetic material that contains instructions for making proteins. And the RNA stands for ribonucleic acid, and it's a polymeric molecule essential in various biological roles in coding, decoding. I always love the computer terminology that's used in all this, regulation and expressions of genes. So they say that RNA This RNA has been referred to as the volatile working memory version of DNA. So DNA is like a flash storage drive of biology. It's very durable, you know, internally redundant, very reliable. But much like computers generally don't execute code directly from a flash drive, they might, you know, it writes from the flash drive to, example, RAM, and then might execute it from the RAM, right, to something faster and more versatile. For computers, like I said, that's the RAM, but for biology, that's RNA. So unlike flash memory, RAM degrades quickly, and the reason that the mRNA vaccine's got to be stored in the deepest of deep freezers, which is why they lost a whole bunch of vaccines lately because of a power outage or something like that, because it's so fragile. RNA is fragile, which is why they have to keep it in these deep freezers. If they don't take care of it properly, if it can't stay in these freezers, it can degrade and not be useful anymore. It can't work. So the Pfizer and the Moderna COVID-19 vaccines use a synthetic strand of mRNA, which tells human cells, this stuff creeps me out, it tells human cells how to make a certain spike protein that sits on the surface of the coronavirus, which then activates an immune response. The technology, on one hand, is absolutely amazing. I can't think about how they can make some sort of synthetic strand of anything that can go into your body biologically and tell it what to do. That's crazy to me, just crazy to me, right? Anyway, so, but they say it because of the fragility of RNA and the fact that it degrades easily, it can't insert itself into the human genetic code. It can't insert itself into DNA. That's what they say. I don't have any clue. So they're claiming no genetic DNA manipulation with the virus. Now, I read this paper on the Pfizer SARS vaccine that was put out. It's put out in purpose to support the vaccine. Everything I've read pretty much is in support of the vaccine. But a friend of ours posted it on Facebook, and they talk about, they said someone reverse engineered the source code of the vaccine. So they wanted to break it down to see how it worked, and they did it in computer language so that people could understand how it operates like a computer. Source code, which again freaks me out because we're talking about computer technology. And everything referred to with these vaccines has to do with codes and source codes and decoding and then I'm like, what? So, matter of fact, in that article, the word code was mentioned like 25 times. I counted because I'm like, how often are they referring to this as computer code? They said that the very heart of the vaccine is a digital code. It's 4,284 characters long. And they took that digital code and they went to a DNA printer and they converted it from bytes, from the ones and zeros, to molecules. And then after some biological and chemical processing, it becomes RNA. And eventually it's become the COVID vaccine. Yeah. The creator of the Moderna vaccine is on records on their website, the company that puts it out. They said that they set out to create an mRNA technology platform that functions very much like an operating system on a computer. So that it's designed so that they can plug and play interchangeably with different programs. What programs? Oh, your biology? The vaccine's been created to plug and play with different programs so that when it gets injected into you, there's now been a program or an app that's been installed in your body, and that's the mRNA vaccine. And now it's going to tell your body, it's not genetically modifying anything. It's just rewriting your program. I don't know how it works. From one aspect, the technology is mind-blowing. Like I said, on the others, it's completely scary. So you wonder why people are worried about the vaccine. Because a lot of people have the same research available for them to look at. And they do the research and it freaks them out. They don't understand it. Right? There's a lot of nurses and doctors and healthcare professionals who are refusing to take the vaccine. Even though they're administering the vaccine, they are refusing to take it because it kind of freaks them out. Some people won't take it because of the possibility of aborted fetuses being used in the manufacturing of the vaccine, though they swear there are none in there. We might have used some in the testing, but there's none in the actual final product. Okay? They don't have to tell you what's in it. even though they've released supposedly the ingredients, they don't necessarily have to tell you what's in it, and they're not accountable for anything that happens after you take it anyway. But some people are really worried about that, the aborted fetuses, possibly in the manufacturing of the vaccine, and they think, if I take it, it's a sin. Right? Specifically people in the Catholic Church, for example, they're really worried, right? They're really worried about it, so much that the Catholic Church actually has released a statement telling them that those who choose immunization are not culpable for the sin of abortion. But there was so much worry about it that they actually had to release the statement telling them that. The Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission also released a statement saying that receiving the vaccine is morally permissible. In other words, it's not a sin. It's okay. But if they have to release these things to say that means there's a lot of people worried about it. I read last night that the death count from the vaccine so far in the United States is around 60 people. That doesn't count other countries. So there's worry. But a lot of people are also worried because of this technology that's involved in the vaccine, that it's the mark of the beast. But like I said, is the vaccination the mark of the beast? No. It's not. We're not in the tribulation. Antichrist isn't risen. It's not the mark of the beast. Doesn't mean you should take it. Will the technology used in the vaccination lead to the mark of the beast? That's very possible. Very possible. Look at the technology. Look what's out there. We have the technology today where satellites can read your license plate and Amazon can deliver your packages by drone. So, the technology is here for the mark of the beast to be almost anything. But here's what I think you should really pay attention to. It's all about conditioning. That's what it is today. It's all about conditioning. The world's being conditioned. The world's being conditioned to accept the mark of the beast once it arrives. Because everything that surrounds that technology, all the technology, but just the idea of it, having to have it for buying and selling and traveling and whatever else, that's all being implemented now. So it's all about being conditioned. Right? The CDC just announced that starting January 26, all visitors coming into the United States, with or without the vaccination, have to be tested for a current infection right within 3 days of when they fly. That's a new rule. That's just going into place here. Israel has plans on how to segregate their country for those who, with or without the vaccination or with or without the virus, it's color-coded. And you're going to get a certain color, and you're going to be told where you can go and what you can do based on the color that you have. And those who have the vaccine and don't have the virus, and they're going to get the green color or whatever it is. I think there was 4 stages of colors, if I remember correctly. It might have been 5. But they already have those plans drawn up, ready to go. What color are you? Oh, you refuse to take the vaccine? Well, you're going to be red. Here's what you can do. Stay in your house. It's not that, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's very much similar to that. They already have the plans drawn up. It's conditioning. People are told this is how it's going to be now. Live with it. This is the new normal. Get used to it. A recent major U.S. city announced that they are going to let a limited number of fans into the football stadium for the playoffs. Assuming, of course, you had tested negative for the coronavirus, or possibly with the vaccine rollout, you'd had the vaccine. Right? And then you still had to, of course, mask up and stay socially distant. It's all conditioning. You want to go to the football game? Do you want to see the Seahawks play again? Season ticket holder? Where's your vaccination papers? Right? You can have vaccination cards. You've already seen them. Some people have posted pictures of them online. Hey, I got my vaccination shot. Or maybe it's going to be some sort of other digital ID. They're already talking about having it built into your iPhone so that when you go somewhere and they need to check whether or not you've had the vaccination or you're up on your shots, or you just scan your phone, boop, oh, hey, okay, you got the clearance. Go ahead, enter in. Because it's all about buying and selling. And we're already seeing it implemented. You want to buy and sell? Have you had your vaccine? You want to go to the movies again? Have you had your vaccine, right? You want to travel? Every country is implementing different rules. You know, if you're not going to get the vaccination shot, where are you going to travel? You think that right now we can get in the car, maybe throw the trailer on the back, go travel around the United States to different states, visit the states, because I'm not going to travel by plane anymore because they're crazy. The rules and all that stuff. I'm not doing that. No, I'm getting in my car. Well, how do you know that states are going to let you in anymore? You don't know that. Right now, everything, sure, you can. We can get in the car, hop down, drive down to Texas, visit the in-laws. Not a problem. How do we know that we can do that next month? How do we know that we can do that next year? We don't know that, right? All these different rules and stuff are being set up. Well, sure, you can come travel. You can come visit. You have your vaccination. Or, you know, if you tested, if you had the test, okay, you've had the test within the last 72 hours, okay, well, then what you can do is you can travel here, then you can quarantine yourself for 14 days once you get here, and then your vacation's over and you have to go back home. I mean, you know, all these things, it's crazy, right? It's crazy. It's going to come to your jobs, if it, you know, if it hasn't already, depending on the type of job that you work. Right now, I'm fine in my job, but there could be that possibility where they come back and they're like, Rich, if you want to continue working here, you need to get a test on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or whatever we want to do. And not only that, you have to have the vaccination shot. So, you know, have you had that shot yet? Legitimately, that could, we're not making stuff up. They could implement that because businesses have the right to do whatever they want. That's what they've said. So they can start implementing those rules. Listen, to work here, you got to have the shot. You got to have the test continuously. If you're not going to do that stuff, you're not going to work here anymore. Right? That stuff's kind of crazy. But you could see that stuff. You know that that's not far-fetched because you're already seeing the groundwork for that stuff being laid. So, no, the vaccination's not the mark of the beast, but the world's being conditioned for it, through it, definitely. The groundwork's being laid. The technology is available. We don't know what the actual mark's going to be, but pay attention. We're seeing a glimpse of how it's going to work. Of how it's going to play out. What do we do with all this information? You know, as we have been going through the book of Revelation, as we continue through the book of Revelation, it's always good for us to remember that God has not appointed his church for wrath. Right? We will not suffer wrath. The church is going to be raptured before the tribulation begins. Hopefully you believe this. I believe this personally. Right? The bridegroom can return for his bride at any time. Anytime. That being said, having a deeper understanding of the things that are to take place after this gives you a better understanding of the things that are now. Does it not? You can see and understand and make sense and comprehend the chaos and the confusion of today as a nation, as a world, when we understand what it's all leading towards. That's not to say that that makes us happy. Like, woo-hoo. Hey, I know this is just, you know, I know what it's leading. In some sense, yes. Rejoice. Christ is coming. You know, they say that imitation works precisely because it's similar to something we know, right? The Antichrist is going to be an imitation of Jesus. The false prophet, in a sense, they say, is like an imitation of the Holy Spirit, right? It's the unholy trinity, the dragon, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. They say imitation works precisely because it's something similar to what we know, which is why that is important for us to be familiar with the genuine, which is Jesus. If you haven't already, you need to start changing your point of view. The problems we face today are nothing compared to the reality of the tribulation. We read back in chapter 9 that men will seek death and not find it. That's how bad it will be during the tribulation. I can't comprehend that. You know, possibly you can't comprehend that either. We don't know what that's like. But let me just tell you that the problems of today do not compare to what they're going to face during the tribulation. There's the quote that says there is a fate worse than death. Guess what? There is a fate worse than death. Because they will be seeking death and they can't find it during the tribulation. But for us as Christians, be of good cheer. Rejoice, because you're not going to have to face wrath. So what should we be doing? Well, we should be sharing the gospel. Right? We should be being prepared. Right? Listen, the Bible tells us to be ready because the Son of Man, Jesus, is coming back at an hour that we do not expect. So yes, be prepared. Right? Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong, as it says in 1 Corinthians. If the mark of the beast is going to eventually identify those who are unfortunately are worshiping the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, false Jesus, then it's important today that we are identified by the mark of Jesus. Right? If they're going to be identified by a mark of a false Jesus, we need to be identified by the mark of a real Jesus. Right? The way, the truth, and the life, salvation for those who believe. We need to bear the marks of Jesus. And trust me when I tell you that idea doesn't sit well when we think about what the marks of Jesus are. But yet, even Paul wrote, my body bears the marks of Jesus today. Why? Because he went through persecution and suffering in sharing the gospel. We haven't had to face much in our life, but it's coming. And I can't tell you the timeline. I can't tell you how it's going to unfold or when it's going to unfold. All I can tell you is that it's coming. And we can see these things falling into place, but we need to be ready and prepared to bear the marks of Jesus. Because that's what people need to see. We will be known by our love. The Christian life doesn't consist in what we do or what we don't do. It consists in the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So stay awake, be in the Word, be in prayer, put on Jesus. And if you haven't, I know most of you all have, but there's a lot of other people watching. If you haven't, now's the time to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Right? And you will be saved. Repent and turn to the Lord. It's time to consider Jesus. There's never been a better time. That's what we need to be sharing. Seek Jesus, because he's our only hope. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this word, and I thank you, Lord, for the truth of the gospel, and I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit, and I thank you, Lord, for the boldness that comes from that, and I thank you, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, and I pray, Lord, that you continue to work that out in us, in our daily lives, that we can continue to shine, Lord, like a light in the darkness, that we can continue to point people towards the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. These people who are right now confused about everything that's going on in the world around them, we can point them to the truth that's found in Jesus. They don't need to worry, but we don't want the people we love going through what we know is coming. We don't want them to suffer this fate worse than death. So we pray, Lord, that you just continue to help us shine. And we also, Lord, just want to pray this week for our country, for our leaders. We just put that in your hands this week, Lord. We should put it in your hands all the time. The inauguration is this week. So we pray, Lord, for your movement there, for the glory of Jesus to shine, for people to see the truth about who Jesus is. And if there are people there, I know there are people going there to protest. I've sold them some stuff recently. They told me they're going. But what people need to see is Jesus. And I pray they see that. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and loving us. Help us love others. In Jesus' name, amen.